Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode number 86. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. And starting right off the bat today, I'm sorry for not putting out an episode last week. Here's what happened. I was sitting at home doing some work on my computer, my laptop. In the late evening, I believe, shortly after I recorded the last episode here, and I was doing some work on my laptop. I turned it off and I placed it in the bag that I normally keep it protected in. I think I went and I let my dog outside and came back inside and turned my laptop back on, and there was this horrendous noise coming from one of the fans in my laptop. And so I thought, well, did something happen? Did the fan suck something in, like a piece of paper or some dust or something like that? And so I got out the vacuum and tried to clean out the fans a little bit, and it seemed to help. So I turned my computer off for the night, and then the next day I pulled my laptop out again and the noise was back. And I thought, oh, well, this isn't very good. So I turned it over and I took out all the screws and opened up the back side of the laptop and tried to see if I could get access to some of the fans, and realized it was probably a little more in depth than I really wanted to do. There are a lot of cables that are crossing over the top of the fan. And I said, well, this is my production machine. You know, do I really want to take the time? I probably could replace this fan if I really wanted to. But since I had the back off, I tried vacuuming out some of the dust. I did get some compressed air and tried to blow out the fans, and there was a lot of dust in there, but the sound still remained, and I could hear it even with the compressed air. Something wasn't sitting right with the fan and was causing all sorts of vibrations. So my thought was probably this fan is going bad and probably has a bad ball bearing or something, because it was quite loud. So, of course, this is right before, usually the first Wednesday of the month, I have an obligation with one of my bands that I play in. And this is my recording computer. This is this runs the entire sound system of that group. And I was like, oh, what am I going to do? Is it possible I could have this fixed in less than, this was, I believe, on a Friday morning, and the nearest repair shop was about an hour and a half to 2 hours away. So, and it was in a completely other state, of course, too. So I called the repair shop. And, of course, they have to, I told them what the issue was. I knew exactly what the issue was. But, of course, they have to run a diagnostic program that, of course, every computer that comes into their shop gets. And I understand the fact that they probably want to make sure that if they do fix something, that nothing else is wrong, so that customers can't complain. Other things are happening once it is fixed, and blame it on them. So, yeah, the diagnostic program would cost me a chunk of change, and then they'd be able to tell me if it was fixable or not. So on Friday, after the last podcast came out, I took the drive after school, dropped it off, hoping I'd have it for the first Wednesday in February. Still kind of in panic mode. I was coming up with plan B of how I could get my sound system up and running, whether it be using Linux and using Wine to install some of this software. Luckily enough, though, we had a giant snowstorm come through on that particular day. It dumped about 9 to 10 inches of snow where I was living. So I lucked out in the fact that the actual performance was canceled, and the next day I got a message saying that the laptop was fixed and they're going to ship it back to me, so I didn't have to drive the 2 hours again. So it worked out well. My laptop is back up and running, and hence why I am able to record this currently. So what have I been doing the last 2 weeks? Well, basically, here's what has happened. Okay, so number one, the number one thing I've been looking forward to talking to you all with in the last few weeks finally happened, and I didn't have a computer to record a podcast with. So that was kind of frustrating. So the Falcon Heavy finally did have its maiden voyage launch, and this is old news now. But it was basically that day of the launch. It was scheduled to launch at about 1:30. And exactly at 1:30, I have a class of seventh graders who it's a brand new class of seventh graders. I had seen them two or three times at that point. And I became a science teacher for 10 minutes or so, and was going to explain to them. I took some time the previous class to explain to them what I wanted to show them and why I wanted to show it to them, why I think this is important, and took a few minutes out of my class and kind of got them excited about it, and told them that they were going to see the first launch of the Falcon Heavy right at the beginning of class when they came in. Well, unfortunate for them and probably fortunate for me, the Falcon Heavy was delayed first by an hour, then by 2 hours, and then another 15 minutes after that, which in some cases I think was probably a good thing, and other cases the students didn't get to see it happen live. So when I got home, we watched the Falcon Heavy launch and do nothing about what happened during that launch. And I was really excited to see that pretty much everything worked almost flawlessly. And it was quite the production that was put on. So I'll put the link to the video in the show notes if you haven't seen it. It's probably one of the most incredible things of untested technology being tried for the first time, aerial acrobatics, and a show just put on from start to finish that I thought was excellent. And they definitely had put lots of thought into it. The only thing that didn't quite work out is the center core. As it was returning to the drone ship, it ran out of the starter fluid, basically, to reignite the engines. That's called TTEB. And basically, the center core did exactly what's planned for plan B, which if something doesn't work right, it instead of crashing into the drone ship, it crashes into the ocean slightly off from the drone ship, about 100 meters away from the drone ship. So it did exactly what it's supposed to do in case of failure. And I'm sure they'll learn from it. And next time Falcon Heavy launches, I'm sure they'll have figured it out by that point in time. From the sound of it, Elon Musk said that it is a quite an easy fix, and they hope to land it the next time. So that's what I'm going to talk about with the Falcon Heavy. I've got quite a few things I want to talk about today. And the other thing that I have been working on over the last few weeks, and you've heard me say it in the podcast, is I started listening to an audiobook in regards to my amateur extra class exam for ham radio. And I thought that my exam was on February 17th. Normally, we have a club meeting the second Wednesday of the month, and then the testing happens every couple of months on the weekend after that. Well, I was wrong in this particular case, and the actual test was a week earlier. And so that sort of put me into panic mode, as I had been studying for a few weeks, but I wasn't sure if I was going to be ready for it. So I've mentioned some of the study apps for iOS. There are some for Android. But I took some extra time. I went to hamstudy.org, where you can test and retake practice tests for any of the radio exams. And I started looking through the flashcards, trying to learn as quickly as I could. I had some extra driving to do, so I actually listened to the last 2 hours of this audiobook that I was listening to over and over and over, just to try to drill some things into my head for this exam. And I showed up to take the practice exam, and I believe there were three others in the room. And one was taking their tech license, and the other guy was taking his extra as well. The one that took the tech license, unfortunately, did not pass the test, but the two of us that were taking extra passed. And so now I have my amateur extra class license. And basically all that means is I just have a license to keep learning. I don't consider myself an expert in this by any means. I've only been doing this a year. And really, I'm still new at this. And I want to learn all about it. One of the reasons why I got the extra class is so that when I'm working at my school district, and once we get everything installed here for the radio stuff, we really have access to all the HF frequencies once we go with some high frequency transceivers. So I'm pretty proud of myself that I managed to pull it off. I did score the best that I had out of all my practice tests. I scored higher on the actual exam, so I was proud about that. And so I now have a little bit more extra time because that was something that had taken up a lot of my time over the last few weeks. So I'm happy about that. If you have any questions on the process at all, I'd love to help you out. And I think as a reward, kind of rewarding myself for this process, because ultimately what I'd like to do with this, before I became a teacher, I actually had a real interest in becoming a forest ranger. And I really, it was something that I considered greatly for a long time, and never pursued it. I went to music school, became a music teacher. Both my older brothers are music teachers as well. I'm happy with that decision. But doing this, becoming a radio operator, helps me sort of fill that gap that I had before. And there are courses that I can take now to assist forest rangers, for example, when there are missing hikers and things like that. And I think that's where I'm headed with this at some point in time. So anyway, that's enough about the radio stuff. I probably won't bring that up again in this show for a while, unless something else comes up. But so that's pretty much going to sum up my whole series on Talk of Amateur Radio now that the extra class has happened. Today, what I wanted to talk about is something that I worked on over this past weekend, is Nextcloud 13. A while back, I did a show on Nextcloud, and I installed Nextcloud using Nextcloud Pi. It's an image basically made for Raspberry Pi where you can very easily install Nextcloud. And basically, Nextcloud just came out with Nextcloud 13 after 9 months of testing. Basically, looking on their website, it says Nextcloud 13 sets the bar high with an environment where many vendors still believe just syncing files suffices for modern organization. And looking ahead, Nextcloud will continue to push the boundaries of what a secure, self-hosted file exchange and collaboration platform offers. So I've been using Nextcloud since, let's say, September, October, I believe. Had it on a Raspberry Pi 2. And then just after Christmas, I put it on Raspberry Pi 3. And ever since then, the performance has been stellar. I did notice I had an update a while back to Nextcloud 12 dot something, whatever it is. And I tried to do the update. And basically, it came up saying there are extra files here that you need to get rid of first because we can't do the upgrade with these files. I looked into it. I didn't really have time to problem solve what actually was the cause and why it was doing that, and what the file, where the files were. But basically, I had a .wells-known file that sort of got in the way of the upgrade. Well, over the weekend, I had a few minutes, and I decided to sit down and figure it out. It was very easy. What I did is I just moved the .well-known file out of its location into, say, my home folder, and tried to do the upgrade again. This time I ran into a permissions error, and once I resolved the permissions, which only took one command in the command line, then the upgrade process began, and I was actually pleased to find out that it wasn't Nextcloud 12. Whatever you want to call it, it actually went to the next version, which was Nextcloud 13. I knew that 13 was coming out soon, and so I was really excited to kind of see this. So what is involved with Nextcloud 13? So basically, they're advertising faster sync and easier sharing options in Nextcloud. They have refined their user interface, and that was one of the first things that I noticed when I went into Nextcloud. They sort of reorganized a lot of the different things. A lot of the admin settings are a little bit more organized, which was good to see. The web interface is a little cleaner, and they've changed the way to select files and added an easy way to move and copy files in Nextcloud. They've also given high DPI support. It was improved, and basically the user I mentioned earlier, they sort of integrated the user and admin menu into one list, and that makes life a lot easier. In fact, because a lot of times I was searching through admin areas and it was actually found in the user area, or I was looking for something in the user area and it was in the admin area. So life is a little easier now as far as administration privileges for Nextcloud. Another thing that the Nextcloud developers are advertising is that Nextcloud is more secure than ever. They're including support for multi-key two-factor authentication and the ability to restrict login to specific IP ranges. One of the greatest things that I've found is in this release of Nextcloud is the end-to-end encryption, which is basically in a preview form in this release. And what that allows is for sensitive data to be encrypted in files in the client so that the server can never see their name or content. And that's a big thing with me. I just like to have my stuff secure. I like to have, anytime I'm using Nextcloud, I had it encrypted before, but now with end-to-end encryption, makes me feel a little bit better that my data is safe, and that anybody who would want access to any files that I put up there, makes it much more difficult for them to get access to it and to see what it is. So users can encrypt data on a per level folder, or and rather than just all or nothing, which I think is handy. It doesn't require users to remember or exchange passwords with this end-to-end encryption. So it's very user-friendly, very easy to use. You don't have to re-upload data when you share it with people. And there is an optional offline recovery key for the administrator. So I think they've put a lot of work and time and effort into this end-to-end encryption feature. It's also available in the Android and iOS clients right now as a tech preview. And they expect over the next few months to stabilize and improve it and add any missing features while they get some feedback from people. So if you are someone who likes to test things, you can try the end-to-end encryption and provide feedback for Nextcloud. One of the biggest things that I've noticed about Nextcloud 13 is the performance is just getting better and better every time there is an upgrade, especially with Nextcloud 13. Page loading times are much faster, for somebody who started with a Raspberry Pi 2, noticed the lag, noticed how slow pages would sometimes load. I haven't seen that with Nextcloud 13. It is very quick, very snappy. Even with things like images, if there's a lot of images, it seems to be much more of a performance enhancement than before. And I'm seriously starting to consider, I'm still kind of in my testing process, I'm still very nervous about Nextcloud. And whether or not it can handle everything that I want to throw at it. I've never had any issues so far. So I'm getting a little bit more comfortable with it. I just hope it doesn't come back and bite me at some point in time in the future. But I'm considering more and more getting away from Dropbox and Google Drive and those types of things and sticking with Nextcloud. I just love all of the features that are involved and the apps that you can install and use and seamlessly work with other people and share files. It's really, really easy to use. And Nextcloud 13 is a huge improvement. There are other things like Nextcloud Talk that we can get into. I haven't looked at that very much. And some of the things that I'm seeing as I'm looking through here is, you know, things like the Nextcloud calendar now being updated to support native calendar apps like Thunderbird and Lightning in Thunderbird, I should say. So if you haven't upgraded to Nextcloud 13, I would highly recommend it. You know, if you're in a production environment, you may want to wait just a little while because it is very new, very fresh. I certainly would recommend it. I have used it sparingly over the last few days and really enjoying the privileges now of having your own cloud storage. Just about every time I use it, I consider more and more its ease of use in, like, say, like a business situation, somebody who has their own business in regards to, you know, personal business documents and things like that, that I don't necessarily want on Google Drive or Dropbox. Having everything encrypted, knowing I know who has access to my files and everything like that. It's not like I have sensitive materials or anything like that, but just knowing that this is something that I built and it's my obligation to make sure everything is updated, up to date, secure. It's a little bit more effort on my part, but really it's not all that difficult. And running your own cloud server is something that I think, you know, is easy enough for just about anybody to do. The Nextcloud Pi install was seamless. It wasn't very difficult to do. And especially on the modern Raspberry Pi, it just runs incredibly well. I was worried at some point in time that I was going to have to upgrade the hardware to something else that could handle a little bit more traffic. But for something like, you know, my needs, one user, really, I don't see the need for it. So I'm quite happy with it. So what are your thoughts on Nextcloud 11 or Nextcloud, not Nextcloud 11, Nextcloud 13? I'm a little bit behind in the times, I guess. So let me know what you think of Nextcloud 13. You can send me an email. You can, it's mrptechreviews@gmail.com. Check out my website, mrptechreviews.com. And you can also check out all the other great shows over at podnuts.com, the tech podcast network, who are constantly putting out great material every week, week after week. A lot of great shows on that network. Show them some love by hitting the download button. And if you'd like to support me, there are ways over on my website, multiple different ways that you can do it. Some not even costing you a dime. So go ahead and take a look at the website. And thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.